Would you please turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Samuel 27? And we're going to actually read two chapters. They're both short, and they go together. However, we're going to jump over chapter 28, The Witch of Endor. I know you are all itching to hear a sermon on that, but you'll have to come back in 2013 to hear about that wonderful or wretched witch. But tonight we look at a dark chapter in the life of David, and we pick up reading in chapter 27 of 1 Samuel. Hear now the word of the Lord. Then David said in his heart, "Now I shall perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should escape to the land of the Philistines. Then Saul will despair of seeking me any longer within the borders of Israel, and I shall escape out of his hand." So David arose and went over, he and the 600 men who were with him, to Achish, the son of Maoch, king of Gath. And David lived with Achish at Gath, he and his men, every man with his household, and David with his two wives, Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail of Carmel, Nabal's widow. And when it was told Saul that David had fled to Gath, he no longer sought him. Then David said to Achish, "If I have found favor in your eyes, let a place be given me in one of the country towns, that I may dwell there. For why should your servant dwell in the royal city with you?" So that day Achish gave him Ziklag. Therefore Ziklag has belonged to the kings of Judah to this day. And the number of the days that David lived in the country of the Philistines was 1 year and 4 months. Now David and his men went up and made raids against the Geshurites, the Girzites, and the Amalekites. For these were the inhabitants of the land from of old, as far as Shur, to the land of Egypt. And David would strike the land and would leave neither man nor woman alive, but would take away the sheep, the oxen, the donkeys, the camels, and the garments, and come back to Achish. When Achish asked, "Where have you made a raid today?" David would say, "Against the Negev of Judah, against the Negev of the Jeremielites, and against the Negev of the Kenites." And David would leave neither man nor woman alive to bring news to Gath, thinking, "Lest they should tell about us and say, 'So David has done.'" Such was his custom all the while he lived in the country of the Philistines. And Achish trusted David, thinking, "He has made himself an utter stench to his people Israel. Therefore, he shall always be my servant." Now, just quickly into chapter 28, these first two verses. In those days, the Philistines gathered their forces for war to fight against Israel. And Achish said to David, "Understand that you and your men are to go out with me in the army." David said to Achish, "Very well, you shall know what your servant can do." And Achish said to David, "Very well, I will make you my bodyguard for life." Now, chapter 29. Now the Philistines had gathered all their forces at Aphek, and the Israelites were encamped by the spring that is in Jezreel. As the lords of the Philistines were passing on by hundreds and by thousands, and David and his men were passing on in the rear with Achish, the commanders of the Philistines said, "What are these Hebrews doing here?" And Achish said to the commanders of the Philistines, "Is this not David, the servant of Saul, king of Israel, who has been with me now for days and years, and since he deserted to me, I have found no fault in him to this day. But the commanders of the Philistines were angry with him. And the commanders of the Philistines said to him, send the man back, that he may return to the place to which you have assigned him. He shall not go down with us to battle, lest in the battle he become an adversary to us. For how could this fellow reconcile himself to his Lord? Would it not be with the heads of the men here? Is not this David of whom they sing to one another in dances? Saul has struck down his thousands and David his 10,000s. Then Achish called David and said to him, as the Lord lives, you have been honest. And to me it seems right that you should march out and in with me in the campaign. For I have found nothing wrong in you from the day of your coming to me to this day. Nevertheless, the Lords do not approve of you. So go back now and go peaceably, that you may not displease the lords of the Philistines. And David said to Achish, but what have I done? What have you found in your servant from the day I entered your service until now, that I may not go and fight against the enemies of my lord the king? And Achish answered David and said, I know that you are as blameless in my sight as an angel of God. Nevertheless, the commanders of the Philistines have said, he shall not go up with us to battle. Now then, rise early in the morning with the servants of your Lord who came with you, and start early in the morning and depart as soon as you have light. So David set out with his men early in the morning to return to the land of the Philistines. But the Philistines went up to Jezreel. Amen. And this ends the reading of God's holy, inspired, and inerrant word. May he add his blessing to us here tonight. Well, in 1 Samuel 27 and 29, David experiences what can only be called his dark night of the soul. And as F. Scott Fitzgerald famously quibbed, quote, in a real dark night of the soul, it is always 3 o'clock in the morning. You see, David is obviously weary of Saul's pursuits. There is, in his mind, no end in sight. There is absolutely zero prospect of relief on the horizon. For David, in the words of C.S. Lewis, life is always winter, but never Christmas. Or to adapt Fitzgerald's image, for David, life is always 3 o'clock in the morning with no breakfast. There's no relief. There's no hope. It's all darkness. It's all despair. It's all depression. David, you see, has given up. He has consigned himself to despair and to defeat. And so here, right at the very beginning of chapter 27, we're given a very unique picture, a glimpse into the heart of David. Verse 1, now I shall perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should escape to the land of the Philistines. Then Saul will despair of seeking me any longer within the borders of Israel, and I shall escape out of his hand. Notice David says in his heart. He's speaking these things to himself. Remember the proverb says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not upon your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your steps. Here, David is letting his guard down. Here he is relying in his heart on his own efforts and his own plans and his own ingenuity rather than leaning not upon his own understanding. He is speaking these things into his heart. And how many of us have been there? In the silence of our homes, under the weight of grief, we speak in our hearts doubts, questions about God's goodness, about His kindness, about His watch care over us. David is here and experiencing the very dark night of his soul. He's speaking like a man who has lost absolutely all hope in this life. You see, from his vantage point, on the run for not quite 10 years, it's only a matter of time before Saul finds him and kills him, despite the fact Saul had just, in the previous chapter, at the end of chapter 26, blessed David, reminding him, prophesying over him of David's success over Saul. But David couldn't hear any of it. He was so caught in grief, he could no longer hear a good word when it came to him, because in this instance, it came from his enemy. And so in David's mind, the only possible attempt left at finding relief is escaping to the land of the Philistines, the arch nemesis of the people of God. Here, David finds solace in the bosom of his enemy. He has no place to go. You know it's bad when you go to the Philistines looking for help. Absolutely bankrupt, downcast. Why have you forsaken me, O God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? David has hit rock bottom. And it's surprising, isn't it? It's surprising how quickly David has forgotten God's protection and God's provision and God's promise. Time and again, the Lord has rescued and redeemed David, and yet so quick is he to forget the Lord's provision in his life. Because, my friends, you all know this. When you are in the nadir of despair, it is hard to believe in the goodness of God's protection and provision and promise in your life. It's exactly why we need to be reminded time and time and time again of the goodness of God in Jesus. It's why we need to hear time and time again that old, old story of God's goodness in the gospel. It's why we need to sit under the means of grace Lord's Day to Lord's Day, why we need to open His Word in prayer, in devotion, in our homes to massage His Word deep into the marrow of our hearts, because there are times when we are prone to forget God's goodness, when we say in our hearts, surely God is no longer with me. And you begin to speak unbelief to yourself. It's spiritual depression, my friends. It's times when you cry out to the Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. David, you see, was struggling to count his blessings one by one. He had forgotten what took place all the way back in chapter 17 when he confidently confessed that Yahweh would deliver him from the hand of his Philistine enemy in Goliath. He forgot what it was like to be able to boldly states his confession of faith. He had forgotten how the Lord time and again had spared his life in innumerable ways, how the Lord would send intervention into his life and spare him the guilt, of bloodletting with Nabal and Saul. He forgets how the Lord has had his protective hand on him. So we are told in chapter 23, verse 6, and Saul sought David every day, but did not give him, the Lord did not give him into his hand. You see, the Lord was protecting him. Never once had the Lord given David into Saul's hand to crush him. And yet here, in verse 1 of chapter 27, David is so sure that he will be given into the hand of his enemy. Completely contrasting everything that God has done. And we do that, my friends. We convince ourselves, speaking in our hearts unbelief that God is no longer good. And we convince ourselves of things that are diametrically opposed to his word. It's the way the evil one works, whispering unbelief into our hearts and into our lives. You see, David did not have a divinely inspired account of his life like this one. But he did have God's promises that he would be the anointed king. And yet on this day he felt deeply in his heart that he was going to die. And you have to feel that. You can't let your knowledge of how this story ends influence your impression of David here. Because it's a reminder that within the purview of Christian experience, there are blue days. That right after Elijah could take down the forces of Baal, he could experience deep depression. So I have in my files upstairs a little folder. I call it a blue folder. And anytime you all give me little notes of encouragement, I put it in there. So that when I'm feeling blue, and there are days when I'm feeling blue, I can pull it out and be reminded of God's goodness to me in giving me you. And yet there are times when we forget the goodness and kindness of the Lord. And for David at this point, all the promises in the world would not convince him that he wasn't going to die. You could rattle off to him every promise that God had given him, and at this point he was hardened to it. He was deaf to God's promise. As far as David is concerned at this point in his life, God is nowhere to be found. In fact, he is seemingly nowhere to be seen in this chapter of David's life. Not once do you hear from the lips of David in these two chapters.